Well, if you'd like to open your Bibles this afternoon to Romans in chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, and we're reading beginning in verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be, but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on behalf on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Let us pray. Loving Father, thank you for your word to us this afternoon. Pray your grace to us that we may have understanding in these matters concerning Israel and the blindness that happened to them in part, that the Gentiles may for a season also receive of the grace and mercy of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at this passage concerning the Gentiles and of that certain warning which is given to them, and the recognition that Israel's blindness is only in part, for a time, we might say, for a certain season, that God may, for that period of time, reveal himself unto the Gentiles, that by the grace of God, he may fulfill his plan and purpose of redemption in every way unto his people. And so this passage is an interesting one, to say the least. And for those who desire to know much more on this, one would have to search more diligently throughout the scripture to see of the various areas wherein Israel is spoken of and of the redemption of the people, of God's people, and of his future revelation of them in a very prophetic sense of their coming back again unto the Lord. But here we have Paul's teaching concerning the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are warned, if you will, that Israel's blindness is only in part. And so Paul then singled out a part of the message here, in this sense, to the Christian community at Rome, saying, I'm talking to you Gentiles. Obviously, he is writing to Christians, and there may be unsaved people who would hear this, but he, of course, is writing to the believers at Rome. And though writing, Paul used terms referring to his communications to them. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. So Paul calls himself an apostle of the Gentiles. And we may remember that when Paul had received his conversion on the road to Damascus, and shortly thereafter, when he finally received his sight again after a period of blindness, he was commissioned by the Lord himself to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and so he made that his primary focus, was to preach to the Gentile people. And he says, I magnify mine office, being an apostle to the Gentiles, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. Paul did have a great burden for his own people, and we find that being demonstrated in the scriptures, where he truly mentions that he had a burden for them, saying in verse 1, say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? And then, of course, he goes on to give explanation concerning the prophecy that Elijah made concerning Israel. But the point being that Paul did have a great burden for Israel. He made proclamation that Israel had not cast away his people, and he himself was a Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of a Pharisee. And so he was a Jew of highest order in the order of the Pharisees, and was very well educated as a Jew. And yet he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And though he is called to give special privilege, as it were, in preaching unto the Gentiles, and to show them of the grace of God, still he makes mention of this very important fact that Israel was only blind in part, that is, for a season, for a certain time, and God had not cast away his people, nor was finished with them. In verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And so here we have, again, Paul's particular mention of his own people. They were cast away for a period of time, and the casting away of them meant that God had laid aside his people, that because of their own designed to be righteous on their own, he had cast them away, and he turned to the Gentile nations that he might continue fulfilling his own plan to redeem all those which he had called and ordained unto himself, a people of God. And of course, this did not mean that he had forgotten his own people, but rather that for a time and for a season that he should preach repentance among the Gentile nations, that the grace of God may be known to the ends of the earth. And so to fulfill the sense of the Great Commission of go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so as we consider that last phrase, the end of the age, we recognize that it has a time frame to it, and that the gospel would be taken unto the end of the world, as it were, unto the ends of the to the four corners of the earth, that the gospel should be preached unto them, unto the Gentile nations throughout the world, and that it should be an opportunity during that age of grace until the end of the age, wherein the fullness of the Gentiles might be known, and then the attention should be turned, that Israel's blindness might be lifted, and that his people should once again, God's people should once again look to the Lord. And as we recognize that prophecy does not happen on our timetable, on our time frame, we should always allow God his opportunity to work, to reveal his plan and purpose in the fulfilling of prophecy. In fact, many times we see prophecy happening only in part in one time and then fulfilling in the next time. So there's sometimes there is in view a near and a far fulfillment, and we could very easily say that is true concerning Israel, that there is a near and far fulfillment. Then perhaps we may say that the near fulfillment was that Israel turned away from God, and God rejected his own people for a period of time, blinded his own people for a period of time, and the far fulfillment being that when that period of blindness would cease, when the fullness of the Gentiles should come at the end of the age, then the blindness in part should be lifted, and God should once again turn to his own people in a great effort to usher in that nation that he had not forgotten. And so we have to allow God to work these things out according to his will and his own plan. And so verse 15, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them, of them be, but life from the dead? In other words, that nation of Israel should once again, to use the analogy of the valley of dry bones, of which has been spoken of in the Old Testament, we understand that life from the dead can happen because all things are possible with God, and the nation of Israel can be revived as God means for it to be revived. Verse 16, for if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And so here is a picture that he uses of the olive tree. The olive tree, which is of God, is the nation of Israel. The wild being the nation of the Gentile nations. If thou be a wild olive tree, verse 17, be grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness. That is, the Gentile nations, they partook of the root and the fatness, or the blessing of God, did receive of God his grace and his mercy. And so we do find that God means for the Gentile nations to be preached to, and to be brought to the knowledge of Christ and of redemption. But God has not forgotten his olive tree. God has not forgotten Israel. And so those who would boast should not boast, because, as it says in verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And, of course, God is very much involved in saving whomsoever he will. And it is not of us, but it is of God. And it is of grace, and not of works. In verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. There's always a good reason for us to consider that God, in his sovereign grace, has shown us his favor. And to show that favor toward us is nothing to boast in, except to say that God is to be feared, and that God's working among his people is a work which is to be carried on and fulfilled, that God's true people may also, that remnant people of God may be also saved or delivered out of their blindness and into the glorious liberty which is in Christ. Even as we ourselves, as Gentiles, have been brought out of blindness and brought into that glorious liberty that is in Christ, there will come a time when the blindness in part which is upon Israel will be lifted. And it also means that God will fulfill then his plan concerning his own people. In verse 20, well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. And so verse 21 can connect very well with what we read earlier concerning verse 17, as some of the branches were broken off. These are the natural branches. And thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them. And so we find the Gentiles were grafted in, but the natural branches, though they were broken off, we are not to boast ourselves against the natural branches, but we are to realize that God also has them in view. Verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward God, toward thee, goodness. And we are reminded that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. I think it's important for us to take particular note that Paul's preaching, as in the preaching of any good preacher, always carries both sides of the issue. That is, God has those he blesses because of his grace and his mercy, but then God requires those who receive his grace and mercy to be responsible, in the sense that they need to give particular attention to where that grace comes from, that they should not take anything for granted, and that they should always live in that true sense of humility and a contrite spirit before God. Because only the contrite spirit and humility before God is that which God receives well. And so we find here that he mentions this sense that the Gentiles should not boast in their relationship to God simply because Israel has in part been blinded, or simply because Israel, the natural branches, have been broken off, that the wild might be grafted in, the Gentile nations. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And we might say, well, verse 22 has an if clause in it. If thou continue in his goodness, if thou continue in that goodness and grace of God which he has promised to you. In verse 23, and they also, if they abide, not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. In other words, we stand alone in the mercy and grace of God. If we do not boast against Israel, if we do not boast against God, saying we are somehow privileged, and if Israel do not abide in its unbelief, God will show his grace and mercy in not only to us, but again to Israel, because God is able to graft them in again. Verse 23, at the end of verse 23, says God is able to graft them in again, which goes contrary to some opinion concerning Israel. But this is what the Word of God says, that God is able to graft them in again, and that God has not forgotten his people. Nor should we forget that God has shown us his grace, and that God has likewise grafted us in for a time during the period to which Israel has been blinded. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Well, I've never done a lot of grafting, but the principle of grafting is that you can take a branch which is of a different tree and graft it into a tree which is already rooted and growing and fruitful. And so we find this happening many times. I guess they could do it with a number of different types of trees and so forth, and the olive tree being no exception. But of course around here there is numerous apple orchards, and this is a practice which is taken on a number of times, that they'll graft in different types of apples using the branch of a different tree into a prosperous and fruitful tree. And the branch will then thrive and grow and prosper and bear fruit. So he uses that sense of or illustration here to show us this cause and effect, that God has grafted in you and I, or the Gentiles as it were, into the natural olive tree. And so we have benefited of the natural olive tree. By God's own grace, we have benefited of the natural olive tree. And if God is able to do this, how much more he is able then to graft in Israel once again, that they may prosper and they may grow. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Concerning the word mystery, it does not mean something that cannot be known. It just means something that has been previously hidden, but now may be revealed. We think of Colossians, where it says, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery, which was formerly hidden in ages past, is now revealed through Christ, that Christ is in the believer. And so it was formerly hidden, but it is now revealed. And this is the sense that this mystery operates under. It is something formerly hidden, but now revealed. And so, in other words, God is going to reveal it in time. Being yet a mystery, God will reveal it. And so we should always allow God to fulfill his word as he pleases, and not try to force upon it our own idea of things. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, as he would not have them to be ignorant of it, but that God does mean to graft in Israel once again, even as they are the natural branch which was taken off for a time, or blinded in part, if you will. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness is in part happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And though there may be differing opinions upon this, there is it carries the thought of God's dealing with the Gentile nations, and at what point that should come to its fullness or completion of the purpose of God in this particular age. And it appears from a natural understanding, a scriptural understanding, God will be through with the Gentile nations as far as the preaching of the gospel and of that effect and power of the Spirit of God upon the Gentile nations through the preaching of the gospel of Christ at the end of the age, which we would call at the end of the church age. Now, why is that true? Because we know that the scripture also says and teaches that the preaching of Christ will continue until the Spirit of God, which is the one who holds back sin or constrains sin from having its full sway, until the Spirit of God, or that which hinders the work of Satan, will be taken out of the way. And when should that happen? But it appears that that should take place at the end of the age, when the Holy Spirit then, through the work of the church, will come to a sense of completeness. And I use that term advisedly, a sense of completeness. We know that we cannot put the Holy Spirit in a box. Certainly the Spirit of God is at work throughout the world in all ages of times. But what the Spirit of God has done with the church during the time from the cross until the second coming has to do with primarily the church and the gospel being preached and the power of God, which is unto salvation, by the way, that verse does say, to the Jew and to the Gentiles alike. And so, even though nationally Israel has been blind in part, it appears that God still works in grace unto all peoples of the world, and until this fullness of the Gentiles be come in, we find that that should continue. And so the fullness of the Gentiles, in that sense, the completion of the purpose of God in this age, in the calling out from among the Gentiles a people for Christ's name, as to be the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ. And so we find that this particular warning that Paul gives, this particular word, if you will, that Israel is blind only in part, and that we now enjoy the grace of God for a period of time, is something that we should take to heart, and that we should not become proud or boastful over, but to realize that God has not forgotten his people and can graft his people back in when he designs to do so, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That is the sense of the passage. And I'll leave the prophetic procrastinators to say more. Then we bow together. Loving Father, we do thank you that you are at work, that you will work among your people. We thank you, Father, that you are at work among the Gentile nations. We thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient for us in every age, especially this period of time which we call the age of grace, wherein you are bringing unto salvation all who should receive of your love and grace through the preaching of the Christ, cross of Christ. And Father, we do thank you that you have not forgotten your people, and that you will at your prescribed time revive national Israel and deliver them out of their blindness, that they may see. In Jesus' name, amen.